You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I am your host, Chris Chambers, and I am here. I have the privilege and the honor of having a conversation with Mr. Michel Hobbs. How are you doing today, Michel?
Good. Very excited for this podcast.
Yes, sir. And of course, Michel is owner-operator of Capture Video. Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. And so obviously we want to talk about your business, how it is that you can help other businesses, certainly during this period of time that we're dealing with right now, especially, but even when we come out on the other side, how you're going to continue to be able to help folks. We want to talk about that as well. As always, what we like to do is talk about you a little bit, kind of your background, family, things like that, hobbies. Then we'll talk about your business. We'll talk about B&I a little bit. You've been in B&I now just over a couple of years. And then beyond that, we want to know specifically who are the clients that you can help, who are the folks out there that in our lives who we can refer to you to really help their business kind of take off, right?
Awesome.
And then finally, we'll end it with just a rapid-fire section, which is kind of fun. So with that being said, who is Michel Hobbs?
I am a 28-year-old small business owner, soon to be father.
Congratulations.
And yes, very, very exciting. It's the first, obviously, soon to be father.
Yeah.
And my parents were very excited, especially our moms.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's the case most of the time. But yes, I specialize in helping businesses using video as kind of like my number one tool or vehicle to get the results that they need.
Okay. You've actually called yourself a strategic video warrior.
Right.
I like that.
The point is basically it's going into battle. A warrior is not a person that says they know how to fight. They have the experience, and they go in with a plan, and they kind of try to figure out, what's going on the opposite side or what's the goal. A warrior has a reason to fight. So there's so much video out there now. People know they need it, so everyone's doing it, or at least should be doing it. So with that also comes a lot of people doing it that either don't know how to do it, or they're just not doing it as efficiently as they could, mm-hmm. or as effectively as they could.
Sure.
So I kind of want to be that gap and help people really get the most out of video, make it really as powerful as it really is if you do it right.
And that language of warrior is actually something you know a little bit about. You've been involved in martial arts for quite some time. Is that right?
Right. So I did Taekwondo for about 2 years in Germany. And then when I moved here, I kind of let it drop and hadn't done martial arts in a long time until a coworker of mine invited me to a private training group that his father-in-law was taking a part of in his yard. And I thought that was very interesting, but I like martial arts, so I'll give it a chance. Go to this stranger's house and train. And this guy has an incredible, incredible history. He's been training since the 70s and just never stopped. So been with him probably for about 5 years and just got my black belt 2 or 3 months ago.
All right.
And it's just very exciting, gaining the confidence to, go out at nighttime and not be that worried.
Sure.
I think you should always be aware, but... Yeah. You gain some confidence, and it makes you a better person.
Absolutely. So you got a black belt, so that's pretty cool. Probably something that maybe some of the other folks in B&I may or may not have known, so that's pretty neat. Always, that's one of the reasons why we like to do this podcast, is kind of help people learn some things about each other that we may not otherwise have known. Now, you mentioned you are a soon-to-be father. Do you know? Have you announced boy, girl?
Yes, it's going to be a girl.
Okay.
And it's she's due in July 22nd, or at least that's what the date is currently.
Very
and
cool.
Everything is going well. She's healthy, so looking forward to it.
So I have 2 daughters myself.
Awesome.
Our oldest, her birthday is actually August 22nd, and our son, his due date was July 22nd, so we thought, hey, that'd be pretty cool.
Oh,
he
cool.
decided he wanted a number all by himself, so he waited until just after midnight on the 23rd. So anyhow, they'll be close to birthday twins or whatever.
Yeah.
So additionally, in addition to the karate and the martial arts, another thing that you enjoy doing is taking part in filmmaking and movies. And you've actually enlightened me. There's actually here locally in Hernando County, there's a group that get together and they create short films. Tell me about that a little bit.
Right. So it's housed out of Live Oak Theater, which is in Brooksville. They generally do theatrical plays and whatnot. If you haven't been there, you should check it out. But they also have a branch off of it, and it's called Root and Branch Films. You can find them at rootandbranchfilms.com. And basically, through the Live Oak Theater, there's a lot of talent already there. They had, you know, actors, they had people that can do music, they had people that can write, they had directors. So they said, you know, why not take this into a virtual realm and do short films as well? So one of my closer friends from high school, he actually is the director and the head of that. So he wrote a couple of stories, and we went with the vision of doing short films, and I helped shoot the first one on the camera. I was the director of photographer. And went into some, he basically tries to take these short films into film festivals and to kind of get some attention, gain some awards, you know, get it out there. And I believe the first one we got like audience favorite award. And then some of these newer ones that we've made have gained reward awards too. I did fight choreography for another one with my martial arts background.
That's right.
And then I just watched this last one that's currently in a bunch of film festivals. It's not released to the public yet. And Eric Kessel's actually in it.
That's
He's
cool.
like one of the main roles. And it's very, very strong and emotional. It's about Alzheimer's. It's called Al. And Eric Kessel's like last line just hits you right to the heart. You got a little tear coming out.
Yeah.
It's so there's definitely something really cool going on there with Root and Branch Films. The fact that it's using all local talent, you know, they try to get everyone from the Hernando area together, whether your skill is in camera work and acting and music, whatever it is, kind of combining everyone's skills together and coming up with one awesome, you know, product or production.
And you know, that kind of leads us into your business in particular. Obviously, I think it's really, really neat that you have some experience with doing some of these short films, some of the longer productions even, so that when folks come in and they need you, whether it be a business, whether it be weddings, whatever it may be, you know, you have a lot of ways, right, to get just the right shot and all those kind of things, which is pretty cool. I can tell you, too, my firm had you come in. We're planning on doing this some more in the future, hopefully not too distant future. But Cut came in, recorded one of our veteran clients. Mm-hmm. He did, you know, basically gave us a testimonial and a very powerful video. I can even say that in one of my feature presentations with MB&I, I was able to use and show that video to the group. And based on the response that I got, you know, I felt like it was probably the most powerful feature presentation I've ever given. And, you know, definitely, you know, hopefully I can use that again at some point in the future. Additionally, I was able to take that video and use it online, Facebook, so on and so forth.
Right.
And, I mean, thousands of views, you know, and actually, we're using it now even on some ads that Dan Brown's helping us with, and getting even more views.
That's
so
really cool.
Yeah. The power of video and Michelle, I know you're going to talk more about this here shortly. But that's what you do, right? That's the purpose of your business, right?
Right.
Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, using the example you just threw out, the testimonial I shot for you, you just said you used it for a presentation. Mm-hmm. You used it for putting on your website.
Right.
You used it for doing ads now with Surf and Social with Dan.
Yeah.
So that's exactly what we focus on. When we do a video, the thing is we want to meet with the business owner and kind of figure out what they really need. And what you needed is testimonials because, not just you needed testimonials, but because you needed something to show to other veterans so they can get impactful, because they're going to trust other vets more. Mm-hmm. Or when they, you know, when they hear a vet say, I went from this percentage to that percentage, they see themselves in that seat and they're like, I can do this too.
Yeah.
And I know just from my father doing the same thing, it's not an easy thing to try to do by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If I would even say it's not really even possible to do by yourself. That's my own opinion. I'm not saying it's not possible, but having someone help you out like what you guys do is really awesome. So having a vet say that is just a whole new level. And that's the idea of these videos. They're not used for one thing. They're used for multiple things. So again, that's why I see myself as a warrior. Why do we do it? How can it be utilized? Is there multiple uses? Let's make video assets and not just one video, a one-off thing that someone's going to view one time.
Yeah, and it could be used, like you mentioned, in so many different ways. So definitely worth the investment for sure, no doubt about it. So I love what you do. And again, I'm a personal testimonial to Capture Video. Now, another thing about your business, you've been doing video production, right? Since you were, I think, 16. So I think that puts us 12, going on 13 years now, right?
Right, right. Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily say production, because a lot of people are going to see that term as being on a big set and whatnot. But when I was 16, it's kind of when I got my first camera. And basically, my grandfather had a bunch of old lenses, and I learned that you can buy a digital body of a camera and put the old lenses on it. So I learned through that. I did get some gigs here and there doing photography, but I mean, compared to what I do now, it's kind of a joke, but we all have to start somewhere. And I tell a lot of my students this, because I'm also a youth pastor. When they try to do different things, don't be scared to throw your first couple things out there, whether it's the first song you've ever written or the first video you ever shot. It's going to be bad. Like, it's just how it is. Like, your first creation is not going to be good compared to what you're going to do in the future. So you're going to have to get those things out of the way. So I started that when I was 16, kind of getting that practice in. And then going into college, I worked with some film people because that was my interest, and took some classes on that. But then when I was 19, I believe I was 19, then I kind of got hired onto these bigger businesses, and I was basically like their in-house video team, had an assistant under me, and we did that kind of stuff. They were a safety company, and they needed a lot of product videos. Mm-hmm. We did product videos like one or two a week, just cranking them out while also making sure we keep up with their catalog. So then they had photography like several a week. So we're just constantly working with cameras every single day, day in and day out. And that was awesome to get into. But after about 4 years, I kind of got worn out taking shots of the same things. You know, safety products, after about 5 years, they're just not as interesting as they were. So I decided to kind of do my own thing. And also, I saw a lot more value in being able to do it myself, because I didn't now have account managers telling me how to shoot a video, which was very interesting when you're... you know, you're trying to please them, but at the same time, you're seeing a change that someone might ask you to do, and you realize it might actually hurt the performance of a video, and they just want it because they feel like it's their video.
Well, let me ask you this, and again, I'm going to throw you for a loop. We didn't talk about this prior to coming on, but during this period, again, just so the folks know, when we're recording, you know, the coronavirus epidemic pandemic has been going on for what, about a week and a half, 2 weeks, something like that. Certainly here in the U.S., we're talking about something that's been around since January, I guess, maybe even December. But now here in the U.S. in particular, like churches are you know, all kind of businesses. We'll focus on churches just for a minute, if you wouldn't mind. Obviously, it can be the same information can be used for businesses. But you know, they're having to broadcast services online, maybe small groups or Bible studies. Some of the folks are recording videos for their classes or for their groups to watch and engage with the Bible, things like that. Do you have any tips or strategies that you would recommend, just briefly, for folks in that situation to help these, you know, during these times, to help those videos to be as valuable as possible?
For sure. Well, first of all, utilize what you already have. If you have smartphones, with most pastors have either a smartphone or an iPad, because a lot of people are starting to preach from iPads and whatnot. So I know you guys have it. If you have any of those kind of devices, make sure to just light up whatever office you want real good, and then record a message. And the thing is, if you get it wrong, just record it again. And once you feel comfortable with it, just post it out there. And you know, that's a good, easy way to release videos, especially if you're uncomfortable at first, because you're in control of what goes out. If you are comfortable in how to present and how to communicate, which I do know a lot of pastors that are, because I mean, you communicate every single week, multiple times. So if you want to go live streaming, and you've never live streamed ever before, and you're kind of, you know, sticker shocked at some of these, you know, have to buy multiple cameras and all these systems, like, they can go into the thousands of dollars if you want to go all out. But the thing is, a lot of churches don't have to. And if you just kind of want to get your feet wet and get introduced to it, I would say, again, use your smartphone first. But if you want something better than that, the Mevo, M-E-V-O, is probably the best go-to source to get started in live stream. And basically, it's a camera and hub all in one. You just put it on a stand and you turn it on, and then you run it from your iPad. And basically, it's this like super ultra wide shot, and you can kind of zoom in and pinch in. And the thing is, the clarity kind of stays the same, because the camera itself is 4K, but you're streaming at 1080. so it keeps a nice clear image. Just check it out. They have a lot of videos on their website and how it works, and once you watch them, you'll fully understand what I'm talking about, but that's the go-to thing.
If somebody out there, whether it be a business, a church, or otherwise, is looking during this period of time, yes, especially to try to do the best they can, and they're looking, they wanted to hire you, whether it be for consultation or to even come in and show them, teach them, educate them, or even maybe film some things, is that something that you're available for?
Yes.
Okay.
Cool. That's definitely the way I want to be seen. Again, I'm not just a person that just produces videos. Mm-hmm. I see myself as a video warrior, someone that continually teaches people how to utilize video and how to get the most out of it. So I did the same thing. As you said, most of these things apply for businesses and churches. Yeah. I already did this kind of thing with Jessica Banville's, USABG. Mm-hmm. I did it for them so they can have online meetings. Now I did the same thing. I'm doing it right now, building a system for a church that wants to get into live streaming.
Okay.
And I'm implementing this Mevo system for them because mm-hmm. they want to be able to self-sustain it. And in what I believe is sustainability is very much related to repeatability. And if I set a system up for a church that they want to run themselves and it's over the top, they're not going to be able to repeat it every week. They're going to burn out and they're not going to do it. So I'm going to make sure I put a system in place that they know how to run. So what I'm going to do for them, I purchased the camera. It's going to come in this week. Go back with them, set it up, teach them how to use it, see if they have any questions. Then let them run it on Sunday and then go back and ask them any questions that they might have.
Very cool.
So yeah, training definitely. It's not just producing videos, but just helping them use video.
Well, I actually, I got a few more questions I want to ask you about capture video in particular. Okay. Let's come back to that here in a few minutes. Before we do that, though, we're kind of talking about the online platforms and everything. Again, this is the Winning Edge podcast for our BNI chapter here in Spring Hill, Florida. As such, we just participated in, a couple hours ago, our first BNI online through Zoom is the platform that's being used there. Just kind of wanted to get your initial thoughts on the BNI online. What were your thoughts coming into the meeting, now that we've sat through the meeting and now on the other side of that looking forward? What are your thoughts?
Having been in different online meetings, I think it went very well for doing this the first time with 50 plus members having been online.
Yeah.
It went incredible because so many things can go wrong when you're live stream. So many things can go wrong when there's multiple devices and, some people had laptops, some people had phones and whatever it was. But I think it went very well. I would just suggest people not to be scared of it and to just learn in the process, because we want to make sure, we don't know how long this period's going to last.
Yeah.
And if you're just in the mindset of like, oh, I'll just do what I can for now, but I'm really looking forward to get back to normal. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to try hard at this. Don't use that.
Yeah.
Have a positive way of thinking. Do your best for what we're doing right now, because we don't know how long it's going to be. But yeah, I do hope that we go back to the physical meetings. But sure, this is a cool opportunity. For
right.
Sure.
And another thing you mentioned, 50 plus people online, how many ever we had this morning. But we're talking, thousands of chapters right across the globe. I really kind of applaud BNI globally, kind of stepping in, saying, all right, this is what we're going to do to help everyone during this period of time.
Right.
And, yes, we were meeting here locally, but again, thousands of chapters across the globe. Additionally, you said something interesting before we started recording, and that was, visitors, right? Still inviting folks, right? We don't have to wait to invite folks until we get back to the physical meetings.
Yep.
Yes, ideally, we're all together. We're able to, shake hands, so on and so forth. But right now, it's just not something that makes a whole lot of sense. So you can still invite individuals. You actually had a couple of ideas about that.
Right. So as far as inviting, sometimes we might invite a business friend and a business owner, and they might have some what we would call excuses, whether it's it doesn't fit in their schedule, or hey, I'm going to be commuting, I'm going to be traveling, or I'm just not a morning person, it's hard for me to get up. Whatever it is, you can kind of go back to those people you've already invited and tell them like, hey, we're online right now.
Yeah.
Either yep. join us online, this is how to do it, or hey, come over to my house, we'll have some coffee, and then we'll go to the meeting together.
Yeah.
If you like it, hey,
sure,
stick around and then have your turn. And then you could bail out if you're at your friend's house. It's not that big of a deal versus having to go to a building and all these things. I think that might scare people off. This one's going to be a lot easier to sell.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to open up opportunities that we didn't have before. And people might think, well, I don't know if it looks as professional as having a building with all these chairs. it's an online meeting with 50 plus people. Yeah. It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with you. I did want to ask this because one thing we had a director consultant today, so we haven't had our first feature presentation online. That's something that will be coming next week. Mm-hmm. Do you have any suggestions for those folks who are going to be doing feature presentation during this time where we're going to be online? Since you come from obviously a video kind of production standpoint, what would be some tips you would add for folks?
Don't get into a negative mindset. Don't think about your limitations. Think about the things that you're able to do now that maybe you weren't able to do before. I know we have a lot of businesses that work with bigger equipment, and it's going to be impossible to bring that stuff into a BNI meeting. But I could easily see someone now being able to show those things off, and they have, you know, props and equipment that they can show off now. Just imagine Joe Cook, you know, Tractor Services, him just walking outside with a smartphone, like, here's the machines I work with, and this is what it looks like. This is what it can do. All of a sudden, now I have a visualization of what he does. So there is a lot of benefits if we just think positive. Yeah. As far as if you're staying in an office, just make sure you have lights in your office. Mm-hmm. That would be my biggest tip.
The idea of going out showing some things that maybe you couldn't, you know, otherwise. I know folks, you know, I like to have folks come into our office to show them around.
Yes.
Certainly, if you're having, since we're online, you could take every single member into your office, whether they've been there for one-to-one or not.
Yeah.
So that's a good idea, man. That's a really cool idea there. Okay, let's get back to your business a little bit and then clients and things like that. You joined BNI, I think we mentioned, a couple years ago, and... you know, so far, what's your experience at BNI? Been a positive experience?
Yes. It kind of took a while to warm up to it because I didn't necessarily understand how the system works. Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of expected because a system is a system because there's a lot of gears working in it. And when you first look at it, you don't fully understand it. I just kind of trusted it because I had other business owners that I knew before BNI, in BNI.
And Jessica actually invited you, is that right?
Jessica invited me. We went to the same church and whatnot, so she kind of saw the opportunity of, hey, this guy started a business, and I think he could use BNI's help. And really, it does help a lot.
Yeah.
So that kind of is what kept me there, because I saw business owners I knew from outside of BNI that are in BNI, and I knew they were good business owners, good leaders. So, you know, my mindset was, if they believe in BNI, I have to give it a chance, because these guys are awesome. So sticking around and... it was very positive right from the beginning.
One of the things about BNI is we all look to help one another grow each other's businesses, right? Yes, certainly we want to grow our own businesses, but we're looking to help others grow theirs as well. So for you, what are some ways that we can help you grow your business? And particularly, you know, what should we be listening for out there when we're talking to other business owners, when we're talking to clients of ours? What should we be listening for to say, hey, you know what? I think Michelle might be able to help you.
Number one thing is, you might have said it yourself too, but my clients or my potential clients, they just don't understand. Mm-hmm. They don't understand what I do. I know I've actually heard Joe Cook again as an example. He said that in a one-to-one with me. Like, people don't understand what I really do. When I say tractor services or bush hogging, a lot of people don't actually know what those terms mean, so it's hard for me to get referred. So he's been posting his own photos and videos, and I think people... from the first 2 weeks they were there, they probably didn't have a clue what that was, majority of them. Mm-hmm. But now I think everyone's got a pretty clear idea. And I don't know if he's done his presentation yet. I feel like he has, but it might just be the social media presence, because I feel like I'm informed because he's posted a lot of photos and videos. So I would definitely say whenever someone says, I wish people would understand what we do, or I wish people could see what we do, all those things would lead into video being a good communication tool, because really that's what video is to communicate what you're trying to get to the audience.
And you've mentioned, you know, obviously Joe Cook, you know, I've mentioned that obviously you've helped me and my business. So business owners would be a good client.
Yes.
What are some other good clients?
I get this would still be under the business owners umbrella, I would say, but nonprofits, people forget about them sometimes. Again, it's the big thing of communication. A lot of times nonprofits, they will kind of get lost in doing what they have to do. You know, I worked with a nonprofit and they basically offered charter services for vets and it almost have like a annual fishing competition between them. Mm-hmm. And it's free for all the vets. And a lot of people volunteer their time, but their issue sometimes is not getting enough sponsors or vendors. Mm-hmm. So my solution I came up with them was, let's record one of these annual tournaments, and then you have an advertisement for the next year. When you come to the sponsor vendor, you're not just saying, hey, we do an annual, you know, competition. You actually have a visual to show to them, and all of a sudden they see, like, whoa, there's 50 vets there, plus all these vendors and these boats, and there's a video there. So all of a sudden, you know, like, I'm sure you'd be interested. Mm-hmm. If I would have told you, hey, 50 vets are going to be here, would you be interested in throwing your name out there and the fact that you do veteran disability law thing?
Sure.
I'm sure you'd be like, this is amazing after seeing that visual.
Yeah, absolutely.
So kind of helping them with that. Nonprofits, anything where people need to see, what you do and really just understand it, because words oftentimes fall flat. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't realize that.
Additionally, you do videography for weddings.
Yes.
Right. So that's another good referral.
Right. The referral itself probably would be more of wedding venues, because I would like to kind of know the venue ahead of time, because there's just different things about that, whether it's coordinators or DJs, or it's just a lot better to have a continuing relationship because then, you know, everything just kind of smooths out over time. And I mean, I've done a lot of weddings where I hadn't known the people at the venue and everything went great and everything went fine. And generally I do that because every time I have a wedding, I meet with the clients, the couple ahead of time. Yeah. I actually do an online chat when we first talk about it, so they kind of know what to expect. And then a month before the wedding, kind of rehash everything, you know, like, who's your DJ? Who's this? Who's that? Do you have a timeline? What are you guys expecting? And I ask all those questions a month ahead of time, so when the day happens, I don't have to bother them with anything, because they're not going to remember them. They're not going to want me to. I want to serve them as best as possible. So I usually don't have issues with that. But again, relationship is so important. So venues is kind of the real.
Yeah, it sounds to me you don't want to become the focus of their day. You just want to capture their day.
Right. My goal is actually to, in the wedding, to almost be unnoticed. Mm-hmm. And if anything, if they do notice me, it's because I'm doing something that needs to be done that wasn't expected. Mm-hmm. You know, like, let's say the groom is like, oh, I forgot this. Like, I'll run and grab it real quick if I have the time, depending on what I'm shooting. Because I'm there usually. For weddings, I'm there all day.
Okay.
So not just during the ceremony, like, you know, before it too. So I have some time. I get some shots of the buildings or whatever it is. So there is some downtime to kind of float around and just help them and just kind of be an assistant.
So you've recorded commercials, testimonial videos. You've recorded weddings. You record education online or that can be used online. You also recorded an MMA fight, right?
Yes.
Talk about that a little bit.
So it's called Combat Quest with Vigilant MMA. And basically they are, it started off because there's this guy that was a fighter, and basically he got into an accident and now he's disabled. He's actually sitting in a wheelchair most of the time. And I think he's slowly gaining his ability back. Like he's using a walking stick every once in a while, or a walker, depending on how strong he is. But the cool thing is he turned it into a passion of, I'm going to help other fighters get to where I can't get anymore. Mm-hmm. So he turned into a promoter, started these events and whatnot, and his passion is really cool. So what we do for them is, originally we just recorded the matches so that we can send the fights to the fighters and they can watch it afterwards, kind of have that to share on their social media, or they can kind of just review, like, you know, where they did the right thing, where they did the wrong thing, and learn from it. And then we grew into actually live streaming their events. So now we have like a 3-4 man camera crew, and we live stream it. So we actually allow him to now charge for it. So it's pay-per-view. So he's making sales outside of just selling the seats. He's selling, you know, online seats, and it's helping him grow that that industry and able to help more fighters get to where he wants them to get.
Yeah, no, sure. It makes sense. And if somebody's sitting out there, again, for a lot of different fields that we've kind of discussed here, somebody wants to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
So you can just call me or text me at 352-346-0229. But the best way, in my opinion, would be just to go on my website, capturevideoproductions.com, because when you get there, you'll see a video of me again explaining what I do in a 2-minute video, and it gives you the visual. And then there's a form to fill out, so I get a better idea of you. And so we can really just get a head start of how I can help you.
And that phone number you gave, you can text to that number as well?
Yes.
Call or text? Okay,
yep.
Very cool. All right. Well, with that being said, what I'd like to do, we just have a few minutes left here, is just finish up with these rapid fire questions. So I'll start out with this. What is the best book, it could be business, networking, or otherwise, that you've ever read?
For me, it's Romans in the Bible, because it's just every time I read it, I catch something else, and it's always like, you know, punch in the face. I'm like, oh, man, this is so good. It's life changing. So definitely that one.
I was teaching through Romans. We got to 9. We took a break, and we'll be getting back to it here shortly. 2.5 years teaching through that first 9 chapters. There's a guy, Dr. Martin Lloyd Jones, Steve Martin Lloyd Jones, who actually taught through it for 13 years and didn't quite finish. Actually ended up retiring due to cancer before he finished that.
There's so much.
Yeah. There's no shortage of good doctrine and theology in there for sure. Any other books you wanted to mention there?
As far as business, I do enjoy some John Maxwell books, just very encouraging. Mm-hmm. And he almost has like these like fortune cookie sayings, you know, like you get this line and it applies to so many things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like. I like that's why I enjoy the Bible too, because you get concepts. It's not just a lesson. You get taught concepts, and concepts apply to multiple areas. You know, we can apply these things to family life, to spiritual, to physical, to a bunch of different things. And those are the things I enjoy. And then as far as business, again, Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich was pretty eye-opening too.
Okay, very good. And then what is the most important networking trait in your opinion?
Definitely listening and transparency.
What do you mean by that?
Listening with full intent when someone talks to you. And that means kind of like, you know, you're looking them in their eye and you're trying to read between the lines. You know, when they're saying stuff, you're really trying to get it and not just kind of like, yeah, it's going in my ear and I heard it. But did you actually hear it with your brain? You know, did you really dissect what they're saying? See where, you know, you can relate or whatnot. And then transparency is, yes, try to relate. But if that person, you know, especially with BNI, if you don't connect with them in the sense like where you personally can't see right now where you can hire them for mm-hmm. yourself or work with them currently, don't pretend like you can, you know, say like, oh yeah, I think I have a job for you.
Sure.
And then after the conversation ends, you never get back with them because you didn't have something. You just wanted to say that. But definitely look for ways to, you know, utilize them. But if you can't, just, you know, don't promise that you can.
And then if you could kind of go back, you know, you're not very old as it is, 28, but if you could go back to when you were a bit younger and talk to your younger self, what is, you know, one maybe networking secret you wish you had known a little bit sooner?
Basically just do it. I was very shy when I was younger, and kind of grew out of that with being a youth pastor, being able to teach kids and then mentor them. And I kind of realized we're all in the same boat. Mm-hmm. We're all humans, and most people are scared to talk. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, speech is one of the number one fears. But I kind of got over that. And then BNI kind of was another version of that. Even though it was later on in my life and I was already comfortable talking, I don't like talking to strangers necessarily. Mm-hmm. So BNI was kind of the, put me in a room full of business strangers, people that, you know, have been doing business longer than I. And I kind of realized the same thing. These are still normal human beings. Sure, they all have struggles and they all have issues. Just be confident and be honest and, you know, grow into it.
The idea of kind of just do it, just, you know, get out of your own way. That's actually something that's come up multiple times. I know Conrad Bailey, when he had his episode, that was his advice too. Just do it. You know, don't think about it. Just do it. You feel that urge. You feel that kind of calling or leading. Just do it. So next thing, we just got a couple more here. What is one business tip you wish you had known sooner? So the first one was networking. You said just do it. What is the one business tip you wish you'd known sooner?
I've been spending a lot of time kind of thinking about profitability and realizing that making money and being profitable is not the same thing.
Yeah.
Especially with video production, we can have, you know, smaller jobs and bigger jobs. I might, like I said, I have a 4-man camera crew and then it's more than 4 people. Like there might be someone guiding them and an assistant. So for those MMA events, I might have 6-8 people and have to figure out how to pay them and how to pay for the equipment and rent that and, you know, still make a profit. Just because you make a big chunk of money doesn't mean you get to keep a big chunk of money. Yeah. So, you know, making sure you're always profitable so that you can be sustainable and keep doing what you're doing.
Absolutely. And then finally, what is the most profound piece of advice you wish you had known sooner about life in general?
Mentorship. That is having mentors and also being a mentor to others. And what I mean with that is the reason why that's so important is the fact that we can learn things either through kind of like our own problems, our own little pains and our own struggles, or we could kind of skip that and learn through other people's problems and issues. You know, my pastor is my spiritual father and he's been through so many things and I've learned so much and he's said this several times. My goal is not to get you to become like me. My goal is for you to skip all the stuff that I had to go through to get here, and for you to like surpass me. And I think that, again, it's a concept that applies to pretty much everything, not just spiritual senses. So seeing that and everything, finding mentors in different areas, whether for me, like spiritual is my pastor, but then my martial arts instructor is like kind of the physical one, and so on. But then also being that mentor to other people. And that's kind of easier for me to say because I'm a youth pastor. So I have a lot of people, a lot of students under me, and they'll have questions and I'll help them out with that. But also, like I said, I had an assistant when I worked as a video guy for this business, and kind of like teaching people how to be confident and just being a mentor in different areas. Again, it's a concept, so it applies to multiple things.
And you know, with this whole idea of giver's gain that we use in BNI in particular, the idea of being mentored by others, right? We're getting, right? Let's not stop there. Let's then give back. Let's take some of these younger, kind of newer business owners and take them under our wings, you know, and teach them, hey, you know, here's some struggles that I've had, and here's ways that I think you could probably, learn from and so on and so forth. So, anyhow, Michelle Hobbs, thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Winning Edge Podcast.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge Podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!